morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, September 8th, 2022. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, world. Happy National Ampersand Day.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Yes, we're celebrating.
Gotta have one of those days.
Punctuation, absolutely.
I want the job of those people who have too much time on their hands and actually get paid for coming up with these things.
Oh, yeah, and full-length explanations, and, I mean, it's something else. History Channel reminds us that on this day 48 years ago, President Ford pardoned former President Nixon for any crimes he may have committed while in office.
Isn't that peachy?
And there you have it.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder who sits around all day. Well, yeah, what can we celebrate today? Oh, here's a ruler on my desk. Let's celebrate this ruler. Let's make it the National Ruler Day. I bet there is a National Ruler Day.
Oh, you can bet. You can bet your soaring dollar that there's National Ruler Day.
And then there's Papermate pens. Yeah, let's celebrate those. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's celebrate gold and silver today. At least silver, the white metals were positive today. Gold was higher. It was a lot higher, and then it struggled down 1708 as the dollar continues to get stronger. But that's okay. Gold will pick up. I guarantee it. Silver, so 1708.60 for gold. Silver was up 5 pennies today at $18.60. Platinum was up $12 at $891. Palladium was up almost 5.5%, 104 at $2,220. USDX today, 109.65, not 110 like it was, 109.65. Crude oil was up just 80 cents today at 82.77. All the paper markets were positive today. The Dow closed more than 100 points, almost closer to 200 points at 31,774. S&P was up 26 points, 4,006. NASDAQ was up 70 at 11,862. Your Asian markets, the Nikkei was stronger by 2%. Europe was stronger except Germany. They were down just a little bit. 10-year yield, let's take a peek. Well, why isn't my 10-year yield? 3.31%. It's a little bit stronger today. Let's see what we have for natural gas, up 1.5%, 7.96 for natural gas. So, you know, it's pretty much all the same. And I just want to bring this up real quick. Today I'm only going to be here for the first segment of the program. And, you know, I've been getting a ton, which is good, you know, because they're buying from Discount Gold and Silver and not from these other folks. 90% silver. I have a lot of calls for Mercury Dimes and Walking Libs because someone is promoting those. And, you know, folks, when you're buying 90% silver, there's a reason why they call it junk silver. And because you were always able to buy the 90% silver at a little bit lower premium for your silver. So you've got more silver for your dollars. Now, since there's been a huge demand, and because we do know there's not a whole lot of 90% silver out there, your quarters, dimes, and 50-cent pieces, particularly this 50-cent pieces, the premiums have shot up. Of course, they're not as high as the 1 ounce silver eagle, so you're still getting a deal on your silver. But anytime you start going out looking for mercuries or libs, walking libs, you're going to pay more. Plus, they're more worn. And if you start going into AUs and a better grade, you're paying a whole lot more. You don't want to do that. This is 90% silver. So keep in mind, it's okay to pay a little bit more for something, but your object is to get as much as you can, to get as much as you can of the product for your dollars. So you want to be smart about it. And then I hear the argument, well, I want dimes because mercuries, because they're going to be more recognizable. that really is not true. You know? And well, you can't tell the difference between a 2010 dime and a 1936 dime. You know, it's look, people become savvy when we go through financial difficulties. And those that do become savvy are the ones that you'll be dealing with. And those that don't have a clue won't have any silver to deal with. You won't be dealing with them anyway. So they don't even count. So you want to get it. And then I hear, well, the price is, I might not need a quarter. I might only need to spend a dime. Really? If we're at that point, what do you think prices are going to be? So you'll be using just as many dimes as you would a quarter. So again, with inflation, it doesn't even make sense to... Now, for gold, yeah, I can see that argument a little bit better, but not for silver. There's dealers out there who sell half-ounce silver rounds, quarter-ounce silver rounds. Why? Why would you pay more for a quarter-ounce silver round? Why? Why would anybody pay a half-ounce? Pay more for a half-ounce silver round. It's a silver round. So I know some of these arguments sound great, but give me a call and we can go over it. So again, you just want to keep making sensible, logical decisions when you're purchasing your precious metals. And some products deserve to pay more, and some products, they don't deserve the additional premiums. Because a lot of those additional premiums on product that don't deserve it, it's all dealer premium. So and you'll end up getting just spot for it anyway. You're not going to get those additional premiums. If you pay an additional premium on a quarter ounce silver round, what do you think you're going to get when you sell it? The same thing as you would a 1 ounce. So you're paying more for nothing. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Thank you, Dave, for letting me go ahead and doing that little bit of comparison for the 90% silver. I mean, it's a great product, and with the premium that they're now charging, you do have to be careful in how you're buying it.
Always an education.
And you know, we have Powell. When are those rates being risen? When is he going to raise rates again, Dave?
September 21st.
The 21st. I was reading an article today where our unemployment has to go to 8%. So in order to have an impact on any type of inflation. So I wonder how high those interest rates have to go in order to create an 8% unemployment. So,
well, and remember, the 8% is the U3 rate.
That's right. That's right.
Doesn't include discouraged job hunters and those working part time. So that, you can count on that being what, close to double that?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. Yeah, the 8% is their number. So, you know, this is not going to go away. Jerome Powell is not going to be able to, you know, increase interest rates out of the problems that we face. And remember, the higher those rates go, the more difficult it is for the U.S. government to service their debt and for these multinational corporations to service their debt. And of course, our debt, our government debt, that means the more difficult it is for them to service the debt, the more they're going to come after you, the taxpayer, to get more money. So it's a vicious, vicious cycle. And, there's some things going on over in England, and even with the Queen dying today, ECB is still making the largest ever rate hike. The European Central Bank made its largest ever interest rate increase today. You know, they're following all the other central banks, the Federal Reserve. The ECB usually moves rates by a quarter point, and they had not raised its key bank lending rate by three quarters of a point since the euro launched way back in the late 1990s, 1999. Christine Lagarde, the president, said the ECB will keep hiking rates because their inflation remains far too high. So again, where does their unemployment have to go? So the world is going to be laid off. She said energy prices will stay extraordinarily high, but stop short of predicting a recession later this year. You know, and of course they're not going to admit a recession. They can't. They won't. And even though we're smack dab in the middle of one, probably, they're not going to admit to it until they absolutely have to. And so, yeah, they're trying to their rate increase is aimed at raising the cost of borrowing for consumers, for everybody, businesses. And they're hoping that their theory will kind of cool off the soaring prices. But not going to happen, Dave. Their inflation, well, I guess, in August hit, what, 9.1%?
Yeah, you've got a similar issue with respect to the article you mentioned a little earlier about asking how high will unemployment have to go to bring inflation down to where the central banks want it. And it's, you know, to reinforce what Powell himself has said recently, it's going to be painful. And as the months roll on, the rest of this year and after the November rate increase has been implemented, whether it's a 0.5% or another 0.75%, there's a lot of time between now and then. I suspect that, especially with more and more Fed voting members warning that we should not be expecting a pullback in these rate hikes next year, that there's virtually no way that there's going to be a soft landing. That and not just the U.S., the Eurozone with the their energy crisis, it's likely to be a really deep recession. Now, how long it will be, well, that'll be for us to discuss when the time comes. You know, I'm just be certain, however, that'll be longer than the official definition that comes out is. So anyway, I mean, Lagarde herself says that a recession later this year or next over there could only occur under what she calls a really dark, worst case scenario where all Russian natural gas is cut off. Okay, that's happening right now almost. Alternative supplies aren't available, certainly not enough are at the moment, and governments have to resort to energy rationing, which is already being discussed in some countries. So economist Karsten Brzezinski at ING Bank also said the coming recession, as if it, you know, in terms of it being a fact on the horizon, will be driven by energy prices in Europe and not by interest rates. So it's a dangerous time, Melody, and I hope our precious metal investors are paying close attention, particularly with gold and silver prices somewhat suppressed at the moment because of this nutty dollar. That's not going to last forever either. I expect that after the election, you know, right, things that it may start to relax again. But who knows?
Well, I think so, too. I mean, the dollars can't be, you know, held up this high for too much longer. But I agree with you. It's all about the elections. And I mean, today there was something about the Ukraine military chief says limited nuclear war cannot be ruled out. So they're planting the seeds. Folks, this is where I hope that's, you know, just not true. I mean, I can't even imagine. But think that they can limit and have a small nuclear war. I mean, you're talking about, I can't even imagine. And you know what's interesting, Dave? 20 years ago, if someone would, if this would have happened 20 years ago, the limited nuclear war cannot be ruled out. Those words were actually, I mean, the whole stock market, the paper markets would have just fallen thousands of points. You know, so that is the one
good point.
So that is one thing with these algorithms and so forth. You don't get these knee-jerk reactions and so forth like you used to get. But ultimately, if there was a nuclear war, even on a limited basis, which I don't believe it could be on a limited basis, not in today's world, all bets would be a complete collapse of everything and everywhere.
The best you could hope for then as an investor is that wherever you have your money, that those markets are closed. The problem with that is even at that point, that when they reopen, whether it's a day later, a week later, traders will be raring to see those prices drop. Everyone's going to dump what they have,
even if the market,
precious metals investors. Yeah.
Even if the market's closed, you would still lose when they opened. I mean, it's just you'd never get it out because the brokerage houses wouldn't have enough money to fund it because they just wouldn't be there. And so that's the problem.
Nor would communication systems and all
communication. everything would be down. You think your cell phone's going to work, ladies and gentlemen? That's why I still have a hard line, because I'm not even sure that would work. But I don't know who to call because everybody has cell phones. You know, but anyway, you can call Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Our phone will work if you can find another hard line. But, I want to touch on this. Mortgage rates jump again. It's amazing. What do you think it's going to be after he raises rates again? It will pop over 6. It'll probably stay there. 5.89%. That's the 30-year rate. Jumped 23 basis points. That's a mortgage buyer Freddie Mac reported today. This is the highest the long-term rate has been since November of 2008. And that was just right after the market collapsed. The housing market collapsed. If we looked, went just a year ago, the rate was 2.88%. So it will bring a screeching halt to everything, but the inflation and everything is still there. So we'll be right back. I hear the music. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. Working for a living.
I'm working for a living. Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Radiation underground and in the sky.
Mercy, mercy me. Welcome back to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Melody off the rest of the program dealing with other business. We're at 1-800-375-4188. I'm seeing a lot of grief across the Atlantic today with the Queen's passing. Transition of the titular power to her son, Charles, King Charles III, I believe he'll be referred to. And I'm sure there's a lot of mourning in the royal family as we speak. Just real quickly here, number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits last week fell to its lowest level since May. That despite repeated attempts by the Fed to cool the economy and bring inflation under control. Applications for jobless aid for the week ending September 3rd fell by 6,000 from the previous week to 220,000. As most listeners know, first-time applications generally reflect layoffs. But the four-week average for claims, which smooth out these weekly volatile weekly ups and downs, fell by 7,500 to about 233,000. So, not sure how that plays into any of the Fed's dual mandates. I mean, last Friday, Labor Department reported that private employers added 315,000 jobs in August. It was down from an average of almost 500,000 a month over the past year. At the same time, the government's U6 unemployment rate, which includes discouraged workers and those working part-time, increased 0.3 percentage point to 7%. That was its highest level, I believe, since February. Let's see. Troubles throughout the world's economy these days are translating into a soaring U.S. dollar. And that, some say, could end up biting everyone. Sure has hurt gold and silver investors lately. Dollar is still the world's reserve currency. Central economic activity far from American shores. So strengthening currency means tighter financial conditions around the world, including in countries where that could cause a global recession. At the Brookings Papers on Economic Activity, it's an influential forum conference that began today. Former IMF chief economist Maurice Obstfeld and Princeton University doctoral candidate Haonan Zhao presenting a paper that argues a turbocharged dollar creates grave risks. The duo writes this, quote, "There is danger that central banks jointly create an unnecessarily sharp global recession through uncoordinated policies that effectively export inflation to trading partners through actions that strengthen their own currencies." Well, the dollar is up about 14% this year against the euro, 17% against the British pound, and 25% against the Japanese yen, which we'll be talking a little bit more about in a minute. I mean, those are jaw-dropping shifts in the most important global exchange rates. A lot of manipulation going on out there behind the scenes. On the one hand, I mean, the strong dollar is helping restrain inflation in the U.S., making imports more affordable, though with the downside of making American exporters less competitive. On the other hand, the more worrying dynamics are being seen overseas, where many companies, banks, and even governments borrow in dollars. Their debt burdens effectively become worse with the rising dollar. Now, several factors right now all point toward continuing dollar strength in the short term. For one, inflation remains very high and the labor market pretty tight. Translating it to more Fed hikes, that makes dollars more attractive, other things being equal. Now, the economy here in the U.S., the medium-term outlook is much better than that of other potential destinations for global capital, more so as Europe faces severe energy shortages stemming from Putin's war in China. We've seen moments of the crisis that typically bolster the dollar's global safe haven appeal. The Fed's monetary policy aims to fulfill mandates assigned by Congress, you know, stable prices, maximum employment, among other things. But those actions have profound effects on the rest of the world. Now, the Fed would only adjust its rate hiking plan in response to the strong dollar if, in the judgment of its voting members, global problems were set to affect growth and inflation here in the U.S. In fact, that's happened before. I mean, in early 2016, the Fed backed off a tightening plan as the strengthening dollar caused global weakness. Now, you know, inflation was, if anything, too low at the time, so there was really no trade-off, they say, but certainly not the case today as the Fed aims to show its resolve against rising prices. And Axios is reporting that another paper being presented at the Brookings Forum is new and timely research with fairly alarming implications for just how much economic pain might be needed to tame prices. Harvard University professor Jason Furman, who's commenting at the conference, went so far as to call it the scariest economics paper of 2022. Their authors Lawrence Ball of Johns Hopkins University and Daniel Lay and Prashi Mishra of the IMF conclude that it may take substantially higher unemployment than the Fed now forecasts to bring inflation down to 2%. Melody mentioned this in the first segment. The authors base their analysis on the relationship between the number of job vacancies and the number of unemployed workers. I think there's still over 2 million vacancies. They also emphasize median CPI as a measure of underlying inflation trends as opposed to more simplistic inflation measures, which shows a worrying starting point at 8.5 here in the U.S., at least as of today. Using the author's models, Furman calculates that it would take a minimum of 6.5% headline unemployment next year and in 2024 to bring inflation to the Fed's goal of 2%. Fed officials, meanwhile, are only forecasting a 4.1% headline unemployment rate by the end of 2024. And thing to remember, you know, that's U3. You include discouraged workers and those working part-time for economic reasons. It's going to be closer to double those numbers, closer to 12-13%. So be careful how you're characterizing things, Fed. You're, among other things, managing investor expectations. But there's exceptional uncertainty around these estimates, of course. We just don't know if the relationship between labor markets and inflation will act as they have in the past, given all the unusual aspects of the economy during this pandemic. But Fed officials remain optimistic that they can bring down inflation without excessively high unemployment. Don't have a whole lot of faith in that. But Chair Jerome Powell said just this morning that, quote, we think we can avoid the kind of very high social costs involved in bringing down inflation in the early 1980s. Plot continues to thicken, ladies and gentlemen. Now, speaking of prices and inflation, majority of Americans, 56% in fact, now say price increases are causing financial hardship for their household. That's up from 49% in January and 45% in November. The latest reading includes 12% who described the hardship as severe and 44% as moderate. Although more Americans now than last fall, a year ago, say they are experiencing hardship, the percentage who are suffering severe hardship is held relatively steady at around 10%. Lower income Americans, not surprisingly, are more likely than others to be experiencing severe hardship. 26% of those whose annual household income is less than $48,000 say prices are causing severe hardship for their families. That compares with about 12% of middle-income Americans and 4% of upper-income households. Lower-income Americans are about as likely now as last year to say they're experiencing moderate hardship, 74% compared with 70% last fall. But here's the thing, sharply more middle and upper income Americans are struggling this year than last. The increase has been greatest among middle income Americans, up 17 percentage point, but those upper-income Americans, it's up 12. New question in the survey asked those experiencing hardship to list some of the specific things they're doing to respond to the effects of inflation. Most common action mentioned by 24% of those experiencing hardship is to reduce spending, including buying less in general. We're buying only essential items. Another 17% say they're traveling less or canceling vacations. Another 17% say they're trying to use less gas, and so they're driving less as well. Other common strategies include buying cheaper goods or generic brands of drugs and products, eating out less, buying fewer groceries or growing their own food, staying home and cutting down on entertainment. Anyway, it's a tough time, ladies and gentlemen, and it's hitting virtually everybody. Now, since the beginning of the summer, we've seen major retailers like Target, Walmart, and others suffering with piles and piles of overstocked inventory. They loaded up, it looks like, at the time that consumers breaking out of their pandemic routine stopped buying stuff and started spending money on travel and services. But the retailer's pain could be consumers' gain. If deep discounts will likely rule the rest of this year, but to find them, consumers might have to look far and wide. I mean, what's a store to do when its shelves and inventory rooms are stacked to the gills already? Hey, let's have a sale, a big, ginormous one. That's exactly what some retailers are doing to get ready for this year's peak retail season. Retail Dive says that with consumer demand cooling, companies like Gap, Kohl's, and Nordstrom are going all out on deep discounts and trying to get these things off their shelves. So they've got room for all the fall and holiday Christmas items they've ordered. And that's just scratching the surface. There are also reports that Walmart, Target, and Best Buy are desperate to move the piles of inventory they have on their shelves. And those piles are large, too. When Consumer Affairs, for example, researched Macy's, they found the company listed more than 5,000 items at 70% off, 145 at 80% off in its furniture section alone. Of the more willing retailers to move inventory out at all cost is Urban Outfitters, as well as its Anthropologie and Free People brands. Company's co-president and CEO, Frank Conforti, said this during the company's second quarter conference call, quote, "We will have to deploy incremental markdowns throughout the third quarter to sell through this excessive inventory." He added that Urban Outfitters is planning for a higher markdown rate to clear through all that excess stock. Now, after years of struggling to make money while offering rock-bottom rates, meaning to move their cargo around the world, container shipping lines are swimming in profit, stemming from this unprecedented run of pandemic-driven demand. Investors in their stocks certainly have been rewarded overall, and so have the owners of these closely held privately listed carriers. So perhaps it's natural that politicians under pressure from an inflation-bitten public will look for ways to tax the shipping industry's windfall. Take the Sade family of France, which through its control of CMA-CGM has amassed a fortune that not even Aristotle Onassis might have imagined. With a fleet of almost 600 ships, the Sade family is worth $19 billion, according to Bloomberg's Billionaire Index. Places it alongside of such storied transport industry names as the Cunes and the Apontes. Vast majority of that fortune running the world's number three player was accrued in the past few years alone. But as Joe Wiesenthal, Bloomberg points out, shipping companies have joined energy companies as political scapegoats for why everything costs more nowadays. Hey, I hear the music. That could only mean one thing. It's time for another break. So please, stick around. We'll be back in a few short minutes. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Okay, I'm not going to bring you down. I'm going to try and lift you up. More time. Back to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Dave Allen. You know the number, 1-800-375-4188. Well, the White House hit back at Russian president today after Putin repeatedly slammed the U.S. and the West. In a wide-ranging speech, Putin claimed international sanctions imposed on Russia following its unprovoked attack on Ukraine were a, quote, danger to the world. He added that the U.S. was willing to sacrifice Europe, which has experienced a cost-of-living crisis as energy prices soar, as the war continues to preserve what he called Russia's, or excuse me, U.S.'s, quote, global dictatorship. Speaking at the Eastern Economic Forum in Vladivostok yesterday, Putin slammed, the collective West, singling out the U.S. to blame for the economic pain that sanctions on Russia are causing Europe and beyond. Washington defended its stance toward Russia, with the State Department spokesperson saying, quote, sanctions and export controls are working, and President Putin is desperate to convince the world otherwise. Continuing, despite President Putin's comments at the Eastern Economic Forum, Russia's paying a heavy price for his full-scale war, which continues to result in climbing costs. Tens of thousands of Russian soldiers killed, 14 million Ukraine citizens forced to flee their homes, historic cities pounded to rubble, all because Putin is determined to conquer another country. Now, Russia's own policymakers, including its own finance minister, have conceded that sanctions, in fact, have caused the country serious challenges. Russia's economy, she said, is vulnerable to the cutoff from the global economy and will surely suffer a sustained decline in economic activity. Putin's war is projected to wipe out much of Russia's economic gains, in fact, over the last 15 years. Russian government is being forced to spend more and more to prop up its economy, adding that official Russian sources put the country's budget deficit at more than $15 billion in July alone. And with Russia's pre-war economy of $1.5 trillion down 4% in the second quarter, an estimated increase of 3.5% in the first notwithstanding, the West sanctions appear to be heading in the right direction. Putin has sought to mitigate the bite of sanctions by turning to India and China to help sell its oil. And last month, the Russian economy minister said he expects higher oil export volumes coupled with rising gas prices to boost Russia's earnings from energy exports to $337 plus billion this year. That's a 38% rise over 2021. Yesterday, Putin claimed Russia would post the budget surplus this year, but conceded that growth indeed was being hit and GDP would fall by around 2% or a little more. The Russian central bank has gloomier expectations for its economy as winter approaches, forecasting a deepening contraction of 7% in the third quarter, which ends September 30th, following the 4.3% slump. In the second, the bank expects the Russian economy to start recovering in the second half of next year. Annual inflation there stood at 15% in July, way above the 9.8 in EU at that time. And in Japan, which I alluded to last segment, the worst isn't over yet for the yen, and it could plummet even further in the coming months, according to people like Jesper Kohl of the Monex Group. Kohl said, I think the parabolic overshoot is still on track, so I expect we're going to see 150, 160 at some point over the next couple of months. Japanese yen has been down. It slumped to a 24-year low yesterday. It stood at 144 against the U.S. dollar. It's the weakest since late summer of 1998. Japan's fiat currency has since pulled back slightly and traded a little lower today against the dollar, at least earlier today. So you ask, why is the yen so weak? Why do we care? I mean, Kohl says its depreciation is one of the more rigorous and easiest moves to explain because it's based on real fundamentals. In fact, he says it's the most textbook-driven currency move he's seen in three decades. He said two powerful forces could weaken the yen even further. The widening interest rate differential between the U.S. and Japan, and Japan's trade and current account deficit. In contrast, the Federal Reserve, which has been hiking interest rates more aggressively to control inflation here, the Bank of Japan has been taking a more dovish stance on monetary policy after many years of deflation in that country. So inflation would decrease the value of the yen by reducing its buying power. According to economist Darren Tay at Capital Economics, inflation is likely to breach 3% by the end of this year, above the central bank's target of 2%. Don't to be so lucky. I mean, inflation at 3% is pretty doggone low, especially when compared to our 8.5 in July. Next Tuesday, we'll get August's. However, the Bank of Japan says it remains very steadfast in its stance that it's going to maintain its ultra-easy monetary policy to spur inflation and to support growth in Japan. Kohl agreed with that, saying the likelihood of the BOJ raising rates is close to nil. He added that the BOJ is committed to a free market in the currency rates and has no smoking gun as to why they should increase interest rates much at all. When asked about Japan's inflationary outlook for the coming months, Kohl said that the bank's forecast for consumer price inflation next year could go back down to below 2%, and he'd agree with that prediction. So perhaps we could learn a thing or two from our brethren on the other side of the world. Here's one that could get your goat. I know it's affected me and my family just a couple of months ago. Nursing homes and debt collectors are flouting a law that prohibits them from requiring friends and family of care home residents to shoulder the cost of the facilities. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau said today that friends and family members have had to declare bankruptcy, had their wages garnished, and their homes repossessed. That's happened after signing unenforceable contracts called admission agreements with nursing homes, resulting in them being held liable as third parties for their loved ones' nursing home stays, a parent, grandparent, what have you. The report described one woman who was sent to collections for $80,000 2 days after her mom's death. Another woman received a letter from a law firm stating that she owed the nursing home $17,000 after a friend's death. The family keeps getting monthly statements that we owe roughly, I think, $5,600 in one case and $9,000 in another since our mother died back in December. Crazy. An increase in complaints prompted the CFPB and the Department of Health and Human Services Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services to send a joint letter to nursing homes today, reminding them and their debt collectors to follow the law. Bureau said collection of debts from those contracts may violate the consumer financial protection laws, including the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and its prohibition on false, deceptive, or misleading representations connected to debt collection. Centers, the CDC reports that 1.3 million people live in nursing homes today. As more Americans age, the cost of nursing home care is going up as well, along with that demand. Prices literally exploded in the last 20 years. By the end of last year, the annual median cost of a single room in a nursing home was $108,400. The last 15 years, the cost rose by more than 60%. Now, most older adults aren't insured against the cost of long-term care. Medicare, which covers adults once they reach 65, offers limited benefits. It's based on need and only pays for nursing home care for up to 100 days a year, I believe. Medicaid helps low-income people pay for nursing home care, but eligibility rules can be pretty strict. Now, a regulation from about a decade ago under the Nursing Home Reform Act prevents facilities from requiring a person other than the resident to assume personal responsibility for any cost of the resident's care. Rohit Chopra, director of the CFPB, planned to hold a virtual public hearing with lawmakers, as well as advocates, nursing homes, and others on unlawful debt collection practices. An HHS secretary, Javier Becerra, says, quote, a caregiver making difficult decisions about their loved one's future should have the peace of mind of knowing nursing homes won't illegally coerce a family into assuming liability for medical debt. Deborah Royster, who is assistant director of the Office of Older Americans, said the financial consequences of illegal debt collections can be devastating, and federal officials are trying to raise awareness. Okay. Last today. Remember The Big Short? Well, Big Short, Big Shot, Michael Burry has reiterated his view of 14 years ago that the stock market is in the midst of a major crash. Burry became famous for his bet against subprime mortgages during the Great Recession, and he's likening current market conditions to the previous crashes of 2008 and 2000. Burry tweeted, quote, crypto crash, check. Meme crash, check. SPAC crash, check. Inflation, check. 2000, check. 2008, check. 2022, check. Well, Burry's latest warning comes during a period of prolonged pain for especially paper market investors. The S&P is down about 18% since January, while the Dow Jones is plummeted about 15%, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ has fallen about 9% over the same period. You've got these so-called meme stocks that become popular. They've struggled during this broader downturn. Places like Bed Bath & Beyond shares, they're down more than 51%. Movie theater chain AMC, their shares have plunged nearly 70%. And video game company GameStop shares have fallen about 37%. That's just this year to date. A Burry, who runs Skion Capital Management, also called out weakness in SPACs, you know, the special purpose acquisition companies, which boomed during the pandemic era stock market surge, but have cooled considerably over the last year. And rightfully so. They really, theoretically, have little to no assets. Yet, anyway. Meanwhile, Bitcoin is down more than 60% this year and has plunged below the 19,000 threshold, dollar threshold, that is. Burry first cautioned in June last year that stocks were heading toward the mother of all crashes, as he put it. At the time, he cited the irrational fear of missing out, or FOMO, F-O-M-O. FOMO trading activity related to cryptos and meme stocks as a sign of the volatility. All that hype and speculation is doing is drawing in retail before the mother of all crashes, Burry said, adding, quote, when crypto falls from trillions or meme stocks fall from tens of billions, Main Street losses will approach the size of countries. Well, Burry has built an audience of more than 1 million followers, where he frequently shares his view on the economy and politics. Hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. He thinks the market downturn is just halfway over. That's all the time we have for today's program. I'll be back next Tuesday. Butch Paul tomorrow will be your host. Also on the lookout for our weekly What a Rush of Gold and Silver blog in your email inboxes in the AM. Thanks as always to our engineer Todd and to you for tuning in to Financial Survival. Please be safe out there. Bye-bye.